Hello and welcome to Deliverability Defined. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Melissa.
And I always, anytime we're going to introduce our names, I have to go, Alyssa.
I know, so the same thing.
They're different. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. I have had the craziest weather day today. I some days you just have a lot of work and you're like, I need to get out of my house and go to a coffee shop and get a different view and change my surroundings to focus. So I did that today, but I've also had a lot of meetings, and so I didn't have a lot of time, and it was just the worst timing ever. So I leave my house and immediate downpour of, like, it doesn't usually rain that hard in Washington like this. It rains, it's like drizzly. It was a downpour, and I forgot my car keys, so I locked myself out of the house.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I had to go find our spare key. I come inside. I get my car keys. I go to the coffee shop, and I'm sitting in the front window, and it stops raining, and the sun comes out in full force. I literally had a vest and a jacket. I had to take everything off. I was dying. It was so hot in the window. I get back in my car after 2 hours to come home, and I pull into the driveway, and it's hailing.
What?
Like full-blown hail. It's dark.
What is happening?
I don't know. But now I'm looking outside and it's sunny again. And I'm just like, what is going on?
That's very strange.
Yeah. Crazy weather day. It's totally spring in Washington right now.
Wow. Well, that's wild. It's super sunny and nice here. And I'm sad I'm not outside, but it's okay. I have decided right when you and I started recording, I was like, I need ice cream. And now that I've said that, I have decided, like, as soon as you and I are done recording,
it's not going away.
I'm going to get ice cream, like a milkshake probably.
Ooh.
Because I have to work late tonight. And I'm just like, I need a treat. I need the sun.
Yeah.
So that's happening for sure.
You should do that.
Thanks. I'm excited.
Yeah. Sounds good. I also have to work tonight so we'll be in solidarity together.
Yeah. We should like put something cheesy on our TVs or something to make it more fun.
That is more fun. Oh, I know what I can put on.
Love is Blind.
Yes.
Yes. Please do.
Yes.
The reunion is tomorrow. So you have a lot of catching up to do.
Yeah.
But I feel like you can fast forward through a lot.
I was going to say, maybe I'll just do like the important highlights and then call it a day.
Yeah. Do that.
So funny.
Well, today we're going to talk all about shared versus dedicated reputation when it comes to IPs and domains. I think this is an interesting one that can feel a little bit technical, but a lot of people just don't quite understand the differences. Why should I have a shared IP? Why should I have a dedicated IP? Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into all that and hopefully make it not too technical. All righty, let's talk about maybe a dedicated IP, because that's kind of the outlier. So in case you aren't sure, there are two options, essentially. When you're sending emails, they are all sent with an IP address. You might not know that. But your emails are sent with an IP address, and whenever you're using an email provider like ConvertKit, you can either have an IP that's shared with other customers, other senders, or you can have a dedicated IP. So you have your own IP address and you're the only one who's using it. So most ConvertKit customers, like 99% of our customers, are on shared IPs. And it's totally great, works awesome for them. And we'll get into the benefits of it. But then there are some people who have a dedicated IP. And there are other email providers where like all their customers use dedicated IPs. So everyone's just very different depending on who you are listening to this, how big your email list is, what your niche is. But yeah, those are sort of the differences between the two. Melissa, do you want to get into like why some people might want a dedicated IP or what that process is like?
Sure. Yeah. So it's funny when you were like talking through all of that stuff, I was like, it really is interesting how working for like an ESP like ConvertKit that is like, I would say, relatively niche for who we serve and like how many other ESPs there are out there. It's really funny, like especially like our sales team or our migrations team, like they see where a lot of other customers who might come to ConvertKit are coming from. And I think it was at our retreat recently where someone asked like, what are some of those ESPs that people come from besides the big ones that we know of, like MailChimp or Substack, you know? And so they're like, what are some other names? And we were all like laughing so hard because there was some really obscure names of ESPs that this is a tangent, but like it was hilarious because so many people hadn't heard of a lot of these different ESPs when you like have worked for the same company for a few years. You don't see all of that.
There's so many.
There's a lot.
And they're each so specialized usually, which is crazy. And a job like ours can look extremely different depending on which ESP you're at. One of our friends in the industry, Allison Goody. She listens to every episode. So what's up, girl? We love you. She works at an ESP that's totally different from ours. Yeah. She works at Braze. I think all their customers are on dedicated IPs. Let me know if I'm wrong, Allison. Each customer sends like millions of emails, you know, it's, yeah. And they're a huge retailer. So it's crazy. Like her job there is going to look completely different than our job where everyone's on shared IPs. Some people have email lists that, you know, has 100 people on it. Others have right. some that have millions on it. So yeah, it's crazy. There's a lot of people out there sending email and they're all so different.
Well, and I think the assumption would be, and this might for anyone who like is maybe just learning a lot about, you know, the infrastructure of email and how it all works. Like you might think like, oh, you can go to any of these companies and it's all going to work the same. And that's just not really the case. So it's just funny because I don't often think about it that way, but it's very true that like you could go to all of these different places and everybody's infrastructure would be different. So,
yep.
Yeah. But you'd think just the basic email sending process, you'd think it would be so easy, but it's very nuanced.
It is. So dedicated IPs.
Yeah. So dedicated IP is good for someone who is sending a very large volume of mail. Well, this is also coming from like potentially ConvertKit. I just see Percy's face just in the camera. But someone who's sending a large, large volume of mail, sometimes we will recommend that that customer send from a dedicated IP. One that you mentioned just before this episode, Alyssa, was anyone who's sending primarily to B2B addresses or strict mailboxes like .edu, .gov might be a good fit for a dedicated IP also. And again, like Alyssa said before, this would be an IP address that only you are sending from.
Yeah. So the benefits, sorry that we're laughing. My cat is making really cute faces in the video, which sadly you can't see. But the benefits of using a dedicated IP, I would say, like Melissa said, this is for someone, maybe if you're sending a ton of mail, I would say a ton of mail is like, really a ton would be if you're sending like a million messages in a day, you probably would want a dedicated IP.
Yeah.
Or if you really, really care about completely owning the reputation of your mail, you want to be low risk. You don't want any other factor to influence your email's deliverability, then you might want a dedicated IP. If you have a team helping you to monitor things, make sure everything's going well, that helps a lot with a dedicated IP because it does take more, I would say, maintenance for you to make sure everything is looking good because, again, it's all on you. So if something happened where, let's say, you accidentally import the wrong list or you send out a message and it doesn't go so well and you get a bunch of spam complaints and then your reputation drops, and that, if you're on a dedicated IP, you're using your domain to send the message, your deliverability is all on you 100%. And so you really need to make sure you have the infrastructure in place on your side to be monitoring things, taking action. Because if you're on a shared IP, that's what Melissa and I are doing for you. We're monitoring the IP reputation. We're making sure everything looks great. We're monitoring the sending all day long. So if you have a dedicated IP, you need to make sure that you have the ability to kind of do a similar thing as well.
Cool. We can talk a little bit about like what happens with a shared IP. So think about it as like a little slice of a piece of pie or a piece of pizza, and you have a little slice of that sending reputation from that shared IP pool.
So like we mentioned, the option I think most people who probably listen to this podcast are using is a shared IP. And this is usually an absolutely great option for you. IP reputation, it's important, but it's for most mailbox providers, not the most important thing. And then the most important thing to keep an eye out for if you're using a shared IP pool is just that your ESP is doing all the things they need to do to make sure it has a healthy reputation. One thing we've talked about in a recent episode is if you use Google Postmaster tools, you can actually see what Gmail thinks your IP reputation is, which if you're on a shared IP, is telling you how is the reputation of your email provider's IP. Which is really helpful information to you for you to have behind the scenes.
It is helpful. I feel like there's not a lot of tools like that out there that you can get kind of this specific data. And since a lot of our customers have a very large subscriber base of Gmail users, it gives you a pretty decent representation of like what this looks like for a lot of your list.
Yep, definitely. This comes in handy for things like, I'll just use an example. I had a customer reach out to me concerned because their Gmail emails were landing in the promotions tab? Such a fun question that we've talked about a lot on this podcast. Mm-hmm. And they were trying to diagnose it themselves. And they were like, I sent a seedless test. I see that the IPs are block listed by this really obscure block list that I know as a deliverability expert is not why Gmail is sending their message to the promotions tab.
Right.
So he just kind of went down this rabbit hole and was really concerned about IPs. And then this tool, Google Postmaster Tools, really allows us to like break down what's actually happening. So I'm like, okay, go in Google Postmaster Tools, look at the IP reputation there. It says hi. IPs are not the reason why Gmail is sending your message to the promotions tab. So just an example of why like having the right tools at the right time.
Definitely.
Can help you understand more about the bigger picture of your deliverability.
Right. That's a good point. Yeah, I talked about this in the last episode, I think, of like, there are all these little puzzle pieces that kind of go together to make up this overall deliverability picture for every customer. And so having access to those kinds of tools makes it a lot easier to not go down the wrong path of trying to solve. Because some people, without this tooling or without some of this data, people kind of in that situation, like you're saying, might assume that like, oh no, it's the IP reputation. But it does send you down this like spiral path, and it's usually not in the most like productive way. Mm-hmm. So then you end up focusing on the things that you actually either, like in that case, the IP is super healthy and high. So focusing on that isn't going to help.
Nope.
And then you kind of like lose sight of what you have control over. So,
right.
Yeah.
Yep. Luckily we got, you know, to the point where he was convinced and he focused on other things, but,
good.
Yeah. So you might be wondering, okay, well, what is the risk of a shared IP pool? Can, you know, the other customers using the email provider hurt my reputation or my deliverability? Yes, that could happen. So that's why we said it's really important that the team at the email provider is doing all the right things to make sure spammers aren't getting on the platform. There's a lot to it. But like you were saying, Melissa, if you're using a shared IP, it basically means all the senders using those same IPs are making up the reputation of it with you.
Yeah.
It's really important just that they're all high quality senders. They're sending good mail that people want. They're not sending spam. They're following best practices. And so that's part of Melissa and I's job, actually, is vetting customers who want to come on to ConvertKit. We say no to lots of people all the time, some who want to pay ConvertKit a lot of money. And we say, I'm sorry, we cannot allow you to send from our IPs. And then we also have to let customers go sometimes because we are concerned that their mail is not high quality enough and is causing issues. So you need to have an email provider who's making those hard decisions, who have really good monitoring tools going on in the background. Our tools will automatically stop sending for accounts if we're seeing red flags. There's all sorts of things going on, but that's a really important part. If you're going to use a shared IP, just make sure the company you're using is really good at managing that.
Yeah, that was great. That's something I was going to say. Like, I feel like we try on this podcast to talk about deliverability from a like education for all sort of lens, but it's kind of fun every once in a while to brag about ConvertKit a little bit. And that's something that I'm really proud of from our team is being able to look at those IP reputation, the shared IP reputations in Google Postmaster Tools for customers and say like, look, it's high. That doesn't just happen out of nowhere. That does take a lot of work and a lot of cross-team communication and work. And so I think it makes me proud that we can like share all of that publicly because it is something that we work really hard to maintain and we want people to know that we care about that. So I don't know. That's just like a fun thing to be able to talk about because we don't talk about it that often.
Yeah. We don't talk about the aspect of our job where we're like fighting spam and
yeah,
it is. It can be a fun part of the job. It also can be a stressful part of the job.
It can be stressful. Yeah. It's stressful, but the outcome of being able to see like a really high IP reputation across our shared IPs is a really good feeling. Mm-hmm. It can be a really tough process to decide if you're going to not let someone sit on your platform. Sometimes it's a really tough decision and it involves multiple people invested in certain customers coming to our platform. And so it can be a difficult part of the job.
We're very, very lucky at ConvertKit to have buy-in all the way through like to our CEO, Nathan. It's kind of crazy when I compare it to other jobs I've had where it's actually very hard to close accounts because the people in leadership don't want to lose that revenue. Mm-hmm. But compared to that, at ConvertKit, not too long ago, I had to close one of our highest paying accounts, like lots of money, but you know, they were sending cold emails. They admitted to it, which was the first time they had admitted to it. And basically we told them you can't send cold email on ConvertKit. And they said, we are going to.
That's our business. Yeah.
Yeah.
Structure.
Yeah. So they left and I posted about it in Slack so that everyone knew like there's going to be a huge hit to our MRR, monthly recurring revenue. I need everyone to know why. And Nathan reacted with like the bye emoji and was like, see you later.
Yeah.
Which is huge. Like that doesn't happen anywhere else that I know of where the CEO is like, oh yeah, we just lost one of our highest paying customers. Great. Right. Bye. We don't allow cold email. So
right.
That does make our job so much less stressful.
Yeah, it definitely does. That's a great point.
Okay. I know this is an episode of tangents, but I do think it's interesting behind the scenes information, hopefully.
There's just a lot to the things that work in the background that you may not think about, that there's a lot of thought and a lot of work that goes into maintaining those systems. So it's hopefully it's interesting.
Yeah. Another like piece of background information is we actually have a team of engineers at ConvertKit dedicated to deliverability and compliance. So making sure spammers don't get on the platform, which is something I also think is pretty rare to ConvertKit and why we've been able to crack down on spam so quickly. Because if we see any like trend pop up or anything pop up, we have engineers ready to go to be like, oh,
yeah,
here's a thing I can code and make that better, mm-hmm. which is just so amazing. So
it's awesome.
Props to our team.
They make our job a lot easier in that sense.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Because you can only go so far with manual, someone looking at a screen and being like, oh, that looks like spam. That looks like spam.
Yeah.
We have people joining ConvertKit like every second. We can't just have humans stopping people. So very thankful for our engineers who make it scalable.
Definitely.
Okay. So I think that's all I can think of right now on shared IPs. Is there anything else you can think of?
Maybe just something to touch on, which you mentioned this briefly, but I know that there are some tools out there that can help you look at your kind of reputation as far as like your IP reputation, and it might tell you like whether or not your IP has been blocklisted by certain blocklists. And just something to call out that I like to just remind people about is that our team's job at ConvertKit is to be monitoring for blocklists around the clock. So the second we might see that there is a blocklist, which it can happen in deliverability, it's not 100% that you'll never be on a blocklist. Like it's just part of delivery of emails and like shared IP pools and senders. And it's just part of the business. But our team is very quick to work on delisting if we ever see an impactful blocklist. But if you use some of those tools out there that might tell you like, oh, you're on certain blocklists and you reach out to us and you're panicking because you're worried you might have an impact on deliverability, it usually doesn't. And if you ever have any questions about any of those tools with the information that it's giving you, you can always reach out to our team and we'll let you know. And we can help you look at your bounce rate and make sure everything looks okay. But while those tools can be helpful, they also, which I totally understand, can be a little bit panic inducing. So if you use them, just keep that in mind that like sometimes it will tell you that your IP is blocklisted. And either it's not an impactful blocklist, and in fact, you're not even seeing anything happening to your account related to that blocklist, or it might even have already been delisted before they can even update their information. So just a couple of things to keep in mind.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. We haven't talked about blocklist in a while, but something we bring up whenever we do is that there are so many blocklists out there. And very few of them are actually used by the main mailbox providers that where most of your subscribers live. Some of them are very obscure. Some of them are used by, you know, really small mailbox providers that you probably don't even have anyone
on your
using.
List.
Yeah. Yeah. And so these tools that Melissa is talking about, they have the scary red wording, you're on two block lists, and it looks terrifying. It looks like it's the end of the world, but they have no way of like, they don't add any weight of,
right.
Oh, you're on spam house. That actually would be a really big deal. That's something Melissa and I would definitely already know about.
Right.
And that would impact your delivery. So that should be the scary message, but then they'll have the exact same scary message for some block list that's like out of business, run by volunteers. Nobody works there. It doesn't actually do anything.
Right.
It's kind of like, you know, on the opposite end of things, you could have a like Forbes list of most influential people and you could be on that list, which would be a huge deal. Or I could write a list right now on a notepad and be like, here are some pretty cool people. And you could be like, wow, I'm on Alyssa's list. It might not be as big of a deal.
I would take that very seriously.
But some block lists are like, where it's like, okay, that's cool that you put me on the block list, but like, it's not, it doesn't matter.
I love that metaphor.
Oh, good. It just came up off the top of my head.
Yeah.
So if you do see those messages where it's like, the IP you use is on a block list,
yeah,
you probably are fine.
Yeah.
And you can, again, if you're a ConvertKit customer, reach out to us, but we are
right
always monitoring that and would know about any serious one.
And I would say too, if you are at another ESP and you see something like that, I don't ever get annoyed that people ask clarification questions about those kinds of things because they do look scary and those tools are a little bit misleading. So if you're at another ESP and you are worried about anything like that, I think it's totally within, you know, your rights as a sender to be able to reach out to your ESP and ask more questions.
Definitely. If you're not getting that sort of support from your own email provider,
yeah,
you know where to find us, but we will say we think you should. Okay. Do you want to move on to domain reputation?
Sure. Yeah. This is kind of an interesting, I mean, we've talked a little bit about this. We're kind of living in this like post Yahoogle era is what I've been calling it. And just like, there's just been a lot of changes with how senders are doing things now, and it's required by Gmail and Yahoo. And so I wanted to touch on this domain reputation and IP reputation and how they kind of work together. So I have an example, just a general example of someone who might be seeing emails go to the spam folder. You kind of mentioned this with a customer that you recently helped with emails going to the promotions tab. But let's say the emails are going to the spam folder and we look at Google Postmaster tools and the IP reputation is high. So then we go to the domain reputation and we can see that Gmail has labeled it as low or bad. That's usually a immediate indicator that something else is going on and it's unlikely related. It's not related to the IP reputation. And you can kind of see in that moment too, what the weight of the IP reputation and the weight of the domain reputation are doing. So while it's really great that your domain, or excuse me, your IP reputation is high, it's not enough. What your email service provider is doing is not enough to be able to get you into the inbox because there's something else going on that's affecting your domain. And there's all kinds of things that we could, you know, dive into about complaint rates and poor list collection methods or, you know, all of these other things that can affect a domain reputation. But I just think it's an important thing to highlight that there is this level of partnership between a sender and an ESP. And it's important that we kind of like talk about that and explain how those two things fit together. But I also think it's really important, especially in this new sort of requirement era of Gmail and Yahoo, that we talk about how important your domain reputation is. And even if your ESP is doing everything within their power to make sure that you're sending from a healthy IP and that you're not being blocklisted and all these other things we just talked about, your domain reputation is still extremely important and can be the cause of emails going to spam. And there is nothing your ESP can do about it if you don't kind of almost, I was going to say, clean up your side of the street sort of concept.
Yeah.
And that's part of our job. Like we want to be able to advise people on, hey, you know, we have data over here we can look at and we can help you understand why your domain reputation is suffering. But there's not a magic button that I can push on my end to make that go away.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Gosh, I wish.
Be a lot more fun.
Yeah. Our jobs would be so much easier.
Yeah.
And we'd make a lot of money if we had a magic button like that. That would be great.
Alyssa, get on that. Find the magic button.
Oh my gosh. I wish. But also no, because then spammers would figure out how to use the magic button.
That's
and
true.
We would all just have spam everywhere. So
then we'd be back to square one.
Right. Yeah. That is the reason why things are the way they are is because spammers ruin everything.
Yeah.
So with domain reputation, I would say like for the most part, it's dedicated to whoever is using your domain to send mail. So if you're the only person sending messages from your domain, then your reputation, your domain reputation is made up completely by you and the messages you're sending. If you are an organization with lots of different departments and everybody's sending mail, your reputation is still, it's dedicated to your organization, to those people sending mail. But that's one thing we see sometimes with ConvertKit customers is they'll be like, everything I do is perfect. Nothing, like, I don't understand why my reputation is bad. And then we'll figure out like, oh, you have a sales team sending cold emails from that exact same domain. So in that way, it's sort of like dedicated and shared reputation overlapping where it's still, you know, people within your organization, mm-hmm. but you're all sharing that domain reputation because you're sending from the same domain. So be really careful about what kinds of messages you're sending from your domain and just be really aware of like anyone else who's using it to send messages. It's super important.
One person can ruin it all for everyone.
Yep. Sure can.
So that's a good example.
Thanks. And then, you know, one thing I do think would be really interesting for us to get into is the fact that some email providers actually let you use a shared domain to send messages. Like I think Substack is a good example of this. You can send mail from Substack.com mm-hmm. and they're totally fine with that. So in that case, your domain reputation and your IP reputation is all shared amongst all our customers.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
It is very interesting. you might be wondering, why doesn't ConvertKit do that? So do you want to tackle that, Melissa, or do you want me to get into it?
Why don't you start us off?
Okay.
And then I'll just like say my things.
So domain reputation, like Melissa just mentioned, for the most part, most mailbox providers, I would say is weighed most heavily out of everything. It's sort of like, I would say the number one factor that's going to determine whether or not you make it to the inbox. There are a lot of caveats there. Like if your authentication's broken, mm-hmm. that's going to, you know, mess up your ability no matter what your domain reputation is. So
right.
to all the people listening who are email deliverability
experts.
Yeah, experts. Okay, you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But for the most part, domain reputation is like, I would say the most important factor that's going to get you there. Mm-hmm. And so while we feel very comfortable with shared IPs, managing that, making sure everything's good to go, there are still layers. So we have IP pools that can kind of put customers all into different pools of IPs so that if, God forbid, something happened and a spammer did get on to an IP and send a bunch of mail and that IP got blocklisted and there were all these issues, it would not impact every single ConvertKit customer. We would make sure that, you know, the pool that was impacted, people would be moved off of it. There are basically like a lot of layers of protection with IP, shared IPs that people who know what they're doing at ESPs have put into place so that
right.
there are safeguards. Like if somebody were to come in and mess things up.
Yeah.
If we have one domain like Substack.com where everyone's using it to send mail, that there is no safeguard.
Right.
If something bad happens, I'll stop saying their domain, but let's say emailprovider.com.
Yeah.
If anything happens, like one spammer gets on there and messes things up, that entire domain is down for everyone who's using it, which is just like, for me, way too risky. Would never want to put our customers in that sort of position and freaks me out. So
I would not be sleeping at night if that was out.
Well, yeah, while we're sleeping, something could happen to the domain. And
you
just don't have those sorts of safeguards unless they were using maybe like different subdomains for every customer, but so far that isn't what I've seen for most people. And still that has its risks. Plus, like we really want to be good stewards of email. We think it's important to make email a safe,
yep.
great place. So I think helping our customers and our senders buy their own domains, like figure out their own mailboxes so that they can really own their identity in their mail is helpful to the entire ecosystem because shared domains make it a lot harder for people like Gmail and Yahoo to understand who the sender is and where their mail belongs.
Right.
And we want to help with that. We want to help mailbox providers do the right thing, send wanted mail to the inbox, unwanted messages to the spam folder. That's sort of just kind of the name of the email game. Mm-hmm. And so I think forcing customers to send in that way is helpful for everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's what I was going to say too about like, you don't know what you don't know. And I think we see a lot of senders who are not small senders even, who aren't totally sure or understand email infrastructure, which is understandable. Like it's not something that most people have to think about every day like we do. And so I think giving people the option without the education, it's tricky and it can be scary because when people do experience issues, they don't know where to go. They don't know why it's happening. And so I think it's the whole reason we created this podcast. It's the whole reason we offer anyone to get in touch with our deliverability team. It's why we have the resources that we do because we want people to feel like it's accessible. So when you have a situation where you are offered the opportunity to use a shared domain, but you don't know how that affects you or like what can happen in that situation, I feel like that's doesn't really align with like what we're trying to do. And so you just said it really well of like, we want to be good stewards of email. So I think that kind of like sums up why we don't go that direction.
I love it. That's something I feel like we've never talked about on the podcast. So it's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It would make our lives easier in some ways if we offered that, because the big Yahoo requirements where we were just had to put thousands and thousands and thousands of customers set up with verified sending domains, we wouldn't have had to do that. We could just say, oh, keep using our domain. That's great. So while it could have been like the easy way out for us to offer that, I would not feel good about that. And I want everyone to
have
do things the right way. And
right. Have autonomy over your own domain, which I can say this now because it's out to everybody.
Oh, yeah.
But we have a really exciting new feature in ConvertKit where you can actually purchase a domain without leaving ConvertKit. So that's really exciting.
So cool.
Yeah. It's in your account settings under domains. And there's a button there that says like search, or I think it's like connect. Let me see. It's
literally, I think it says like buy and validate a domain.
Buy and validate. Yes, I think you're right. It literally just came out yesterday, I think. Yeah. So I've purchased two domains recently through that feature, and it was super easy. I think just like the only like downside I could say is if you, it's through a particular DNS provider. So if that's not the provider, if you wanted to like move it somewhere else, you'd have to deal with that. But if you're sending from a Gmail address, this is a tangent, but if you're sending from a Gmail address, you will very soon need to be sending from a domain address. And so we've just tried to make it as easy as possible for customers to go in, purchase a domain, validate it, get set up, ready to go. So yeah, that's exciting.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, by the time this episode comes out, let's see this one. Yeah. I mean, we're recording almost a month early right now. By the time this episode comes out, Gmail might have already put their new DMARC record into place. So it's hard to say, but this is huge. If you are someone who's still sending from gmail.com or any other like public domain, you can actually go into ConvertKit really easily, buy a domain, and it'll automatically add the records you need for it to be a verified sending domain. It's just amazing. So,
and a custom domain, which is different. But yeah, it's really cool. So it's a great new feature that will hopefully just, I guess what's exciting about all of this is going back to talking about like, we want to be good stewards of email, that whole thing. But we also are trying to get tooling in place to like support that.
Ease of use. Yeah. Like we want to make it as easy as we can.
Exactly. We don't want to say, well, we want to do it this way, but we're going to make it really hard to figure out. Like we've tried to align our tooling with our belief of like, this is the best way for senders to have autonomy over their domain reputation. And here we're going to give you a tool to make it even easier. So I hope that helpful.
It has to be. It makes me very happy. Yeah. That we're not like, well, sorry, this is the way it has to happen. Yeah. Figure it out. Yeah. Go buy a domain and figure it out. We're like, no, we're going to make this as easy as we can. But this really is the best way to do it, especially when we preach about how email allows you to own your audience. Mm-hmm. Like if we truly believe that, then we need to help you be able to own your audience.
Totally.
Because if something, you know, if you need to switch ESP suddenly and you do have that email list you own, but you don't own a domain, like you can't really use that email list.
Yeah. That's a really good call out that I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah. So if we truly at ConvertKit are saying, hey, own your audience with email. It's not like social media. You can truly own your audience. We want to fully believe that and back it up and show you like, here's how you own your email. Here's how you have a domain. Here's how you manage the reputation. Like we want you to have all the skills and that, you know, email marketing pros have. And that's why we're here doing what we do.
Love it.
Oh, so fun. Oh, our jobs are funny.
I know. No day is really the same.
It's really not. But I'm glad whoever's listening to this is interested. Yeah. That's really huge to me.
That is for me too, because my family is not even interested.
No one else is interested. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you all so much for listening to us talk about these interesting, silly, weird topics.
Yeah.
We hope it was helpful. We definitely had some like behind the scenes and kind of like hot takes, which is fun.
Yeah.
Let us know if you have any questions. As always, if you go to help@convertkit.com, you can write in and be like, please connect me with Alyssa and Melissa, and we will get your message.
Yes. Thank you for listening.
Yep. Have a great rest of your week.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks for listening to Deliverability Defined.
Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast wherever you're listening. And if you have time, please leave us a review.
You can find a resource guide for today's show at convertkit.com/deliverability, where we outline all of the information you need to know from today's episode.
If you have a question or topic you want us to cover, let us know within the ConvertKit community or at convertkit.com/deliverability.
We'll see you next week.